You will notice in the clock tower, isn't that a nice name for our newsletter? There's a little blurb here on the third page under June's sermons. And it says, during the first four Sabbaths of June, Pastor Neary will be speaking on the Jabez Prayer. Though otherwise an obscure character with no other genealogical connections, Jabez appears suddenly in 1 Chronicles 4:19. Whoops, 1 Chronicles 4:9. Got to read right. How many of you have noticed this book? Oh, you've got one with you, Elizabeth. Okay, Elizabeth brought hers. These are now at Costco for cheaper than the Christian bookstores, okay? I found them there. And I looked at those books and I wanted to buy about 200 of them so that I could hand them all out to you today. But for a couple reasons, I didn't do that. The first being money. That's pretty good. The second being, if I gave it to you, it might not mean as much as if you went out and bought it. But the series of sermons for the next four Sabbaths are based on this little book. I'm going to strongly encourage that you get a copy of this book and read it, because I believe it really will change your life and our church's life. And that is why we are here, folks. So I wanted to start out by letting you know that as I start my first in my four series here on this little book and the Jabez Prayers, it's called. And today is a little prayer, but big results. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, good morning. And I want to thank you for this moment, because I want it to be your moment, not mine. For Lord, you have a message for us today, and we need to hear you speak. So I must get out of the way. For Lord, only you matter. For your precious sheep have filled the sanctuary again this morning, Lord, and I know your intention is that they leave here knowing that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ has something special for them, that Jesus Christ understands the circumstances surrounding their life, and that you have solutions and promises and hope and help for each one. So, Lord, I relinquish control because it is you and you alone that counts. So now please be seen and please be heard so that your name can be praised and we can go from here assured that you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. The truth is that prayer has divided seas. Prayer has ceased the flow of mighty rivers. Prayer has brought water gushing out of boulders miraculously. Prayer has quenched the flames of fire. Prayer has muzzled lions. It has stopped the course of the moon. It has halted the movement of the sun. It has slain armies. It has opened iron gates, defeated devils, raised the dead, healed the sick, brought a man from the depths of the sea back to the surface, and raised even one to heaven on fiery chariots. Prayer has converted sinners and changed lives. And today we are going to look at what appears to be a little prayer, even an insignificant prayer, but we're going to see big results. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And perhaps it's a book you haven't turned to very much recently. In fact, perhaps I would suggest it's a book that if you've ever tried to read through your Bible, when you got to Chronicles, you quit. If you didn't quit, by the way, at Leviticus, that is. Do you have 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10? Let's first read this little prayer, and then let's look at it closely in this first part of the series. And this is incredible. Watch what it says. You have it? 1 Chronicles? Listen, if you didn't bring a Bible, grab the Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. Open that up there if you would. Join us in this, because as you hear it and also as you look at it and study it, you will get more insights to it. This is what's called the Jabez Prayer. This is what is the subject of this little book here called the Jabez Prayer, starting with verse 9. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand may be with me, and that thou wilt keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Brothers and sisters, we start out the Jabez Prayer by discovering he was more honorable than his brothers. That's the first thing we're told about Jabez. But for this to heighten in your understanding and my understanding, let's first look at the setting here of this. This is amazing here. If you've ever looked at Chronicles, the first 9 chapters are what we call the begats. Okay? The begats. You know what that means? In the Hebrew, the begats means so-and-so had a son, his name was. In fact, just thumb back to the very first chapter of Chronicles and notice how it starts here. Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, and on and on and on. In fact, perhaps some well-intending Christian parents have often turned to this section of Scripture to find a name for their son. I hope they didn't turn here to find a name for their daughter. Although there are some ladies mentioned here. Okay, and then chapter 2, and mine says genealogy of Adam, and verse 28 says the descendants of Abraham, and chapter 2 says the genealogy of the 12 sons of Jacob, and before verse 9 of chapter 2 it says genealogy of David, and chapter 3 says the family of David, and chapter 4 says the line of Hur, Asher. I mean, just name after name after name. 9 chapters, 500 plus names. And what's incredible here is all of a sudden when we get to chapter 4 to verse 9, it halts the process of the repetitive listing of names with, by the way, no commentary, hardly at all, in every given case, 500 plus names. And all of a sudden, here is an obscure name that's never mentioned again in the Bible, and it, for 2 verses, dwells on this one character. And by the way, I want you to know this, as soon as it's over here, verse 9 and 10, it goes back to the repetitive listing of names with no commentary on all the names from this point on to the end of chapter 9. And the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And the question arises in my mind, why was he more honorable than his brothers? And notice right away his name, Jabez. Verse 9 tells us where he got the name. What does the name mean? You tell me. You've got your Bibles there. What does it mean? You're going to give me 2 things. Jabez means pain. Pain. His mother named him Jabez Pain because He caused her pain. She memorialized this horrible event by giving him a name that he will bear with him forever. And so every time a Hebrew said, "There goes Jabez," in their mind, they knew that meant pain. By the way, your Bible may say sorrow. I'll give you that. That's okay. I mean, imagine how the bullies felt, you know? Hey, here comes the pain in the neck. Hey, what was your mother thinking when she named you Jabez, huh? How many advantages in life do you think Jabez earned as a young person carrying around the name that memorialized what his mother felt about him? He caused me pain. He caused me sorrow. Yet the Bible says he was more honorable than his brothers. By the way, you know, it doesn't say why she said that. It doesn't tell us, you know, was he illegitimate? You know, was his father an abuser and she hated him and he made her get pregnant? Was she raped? You know, it doesn't say. It just says that Jabez was named Jabez because he caused her pain. And I'm telling you, the local bullies loved it. In all his life, he had to defend himself probably because of his name. But yet the Bible says he's more honorable than his brothers. There's another thing here, too, you don't want to overlook. How many of you are well aware of the fact that the name that a mother gives in the Hebrew culture is very important, and it usually signifies what she hopes someday her son will be? Did you know that? If you didn't, you need to understand how incredible this section of Scripture in the middle of all these begots really is. Not only did his mother memorialize it, not only did the local bullies constantly remind him of it, but he had to carry with him the understanding that mothers name their children after what they're hoping they will become. Daniel, for example, one trivial example. Daniel means God is judge. Wherever Daniel went, he called attention to the fact that God is judge. Not my son, not me, not my pastor, neighbor. God is judge. God is judge. Very admirable. But Jabez carried the name pain. A constant reminder that he caused pain. But yet the Bible says, in spite of this, he was more honorable than his brothers. By the way, that word brothers, you think of David and Michael and Adam and Sean, your rank, brothers. But yet in the Hebrew, that could also mean brethren, which means not only your blood brothers, but your church family or your clan. Jabez might have been more honorable not only than his blood brothers, but maybe even his church members, his descendants, his family or clan. But yet the Bible says he was more honorable. Why was he more honorable? And we find out the answer to that at the beginning of verse 10, because Jabez called on the God of Israel. See? He called on the God of Israel. Friends, here's encouragement for you this morning. Here's hope for you this morning. Here's a challenge for you this morning. Because I want you to know that the circumstances surrounding Jabez's life, I want you to know the environment surrounding Jabez's life, I want you to know that the situation surrounding Jabez's life all pointed to defeat and discouragement. But the Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. He rose above his circumstances. He rose above his surroundings. He rose above his environment. He rose above his challenges. He rose above the temptations, the fears, the anxiety. He rose above the persecution that he had to live with, the accusations that were applied to him. He rose above all those things and did the one thing that matters. Brothers and sisters, He called upon the name of the Lord. That's why He was more honorable than His brothers. Anybody say amen? You know, that's a simple thing to do, folks. Now, how about if I said, and notice here it says, and Jabin made $1 million. How many of you have succeeded? I tried to figure out in my life on a pastor's salary if I'll even come close. I gave up trying. I mean, I gave up doing the math. I don't even want to know. Okay? It says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers because he had a large house and many cars and a large screen TV and surround sound and the latest stereo equipment. He had high, what is that? HD, high density TV. I saw that at Costco yesterday. I just stood there. It almost looked like 3D. It was so clear and pure. I thought, I want one of those. And I thought, but I can't afford one. Isn't that good? Because it's a waste of time. But it sure is attractive. He had one of those. No. Brothers and sisters, it said, Jabez called upon the name of the Lord. The reason he was more honorable was he rose above his circumstances, his situation, his surroundings. He didn't let him get it down. He didn't let those things stifle his future. He called upon the name of the Lord. In fact, let's look at a couple scriptures real quick, and then we'll pop back. I just have one more point to make, and I'm done. Look at Psalms 99, verse 6. It's so simple, but yet it's so important, and I believe that so many of us are overlooking it. You have Psalms 99, verse 6. Now the title of Psalms 99 in my Bible is Praise to the Lord for His Fidelity to Israel. And just verse 6, I chose this because here's some pretty powerful people in their lifetime. Very influential. And none of them were rich, by the way. Okay? Moses and Aaron were among his priests. And Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. You see? Now, I chose these because they're not obscure like Jabez. They didn't carry names around with them that condemned them for the rest of their life. But I picked them because these were also men who accomplished something great, and the purpose or the reason for it is they called upon the name of the Lord. It is plain and simple. You call, God answers. And so we find out why the Bible testifies to Jabez in the middle of a whole list of names that just goes on and on, so redundant, repetitive, so boring. And all of a sudden, boom, two texts out of the clear blue sky about this one guy who is a pain in the neck. Take a look at Jeremiah 33:3. I told you this before, Jeremiah 33:3. This is God's telephone number. Somebody says, how do you get God? You just dial 33:3. Okay? Jeremiah 33:3. And what does Jeremiah 33:3 say? You know what it says? You should know this. I heard somebody say it. I think King James says, call upon me. Mine says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. See, it has nothing to do with who you are, where you come from, what you look like, how successful or unsuccessful, how many degrees. None of that matters. Are you picked on, maligned? Have you been unjustly accused? Doesn't matter. It says, call upon me and I will answer you. You know why others are ignoring you, maligning you? Why others are ridiculing and mocking you? You can have a relationship with the most powerful person in the whole world. A private relationship. A personal, private relationship that is out of this world. But the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer you. Now we see why Jabez was more honorable. You know what that implies? His brethren weren't calling upon him. Now let's do a little history here. I want to share this with you. We've got to understand this because I want to see this prayer prayed in this church. That's why I want you to go out and buy the book. I want to do a four-part series. Jabez lived in the time of the judges. You see, here's how it went. Moses died and the mantle went to Joshua. Joshua died and the mantle went to You see, you get to the book of Judges, you're not really sure who the mantle went to. But whenever there was a need, and Israel saw their need, they got on their knees and said, Lord, we're in trouble, give us someone. And it said God raised up a judge. And when the minute the judge was raised up, the people rallied around the judge. The prosperity of Israel peaked, and it went on until the judge died, and then time passed, and guess what? I'm going to give you the roller coaster ride of the book of Judges. This is the book of Judges. It's like your life, my life. And every time that judge died and then Israel went down into the tubes and then something dastardly happened and finally somebody went, hey, wait a minute. When we pray, God answers. So they got a couple people together to pray. He raised up a judge. They went back to a peak. And it went on really nice, and the judge died, and back down they went. This was the time in which Jabez existed. Do you realize it's possible that no one else was calling upon the name of the Lord but Jabez? And that's why the Bible here interrupts this commentary and suddenly includes this and says he was more honorable than his brethren because he was doing something at that time no one else was doing. We're talking about a list of the names of the people of God's church. So the Jabez prayer is really important to us today because I feel that in many respects we are like the people in the book of Judges. That the minute the judge who God appoints dies, the whole congregation crashes and burns. And they all go back to their old ways, their old habits, trusting in themselves, picking on one another, being critical and negative, sarcasm, until somebody calls upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10, one more, and then I'll get to the last point here. Romans 10, we got to get in the New Testament. We wouldn't want anybody to think that only the Old Testament people were supposed to pray. Of course, we all know that the New and Old Testament are one, really. You have Romans, the 10th chapter. Look what Paul says. He makes it very plain here. The church is rising. It's developing. It's beginning to expand and grow. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul says, in starting with the 10th verse, or the 12th verse, excuse me, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who, what? Call upon Him. Please notice that, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. Verse 13, for, and now he quotes here, and you know where he quotes from? He quotes from the Old Testament Joel, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see? By the way, that's where salvation comes from, the Lord. Verse 14, how then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren because he was a preacher of his time. He was doing something they weren't doing. He was a role model for the people. In fact, I looked up the word honorable, and it means someone to look up to with respect. Don't we need that in society today, folks? We do. And so then in a portion that's probably the least read in all the Bible, come jumping out of the pages is this incredible man named Jabez, whose name actually commemorates what he did to his mother and how horrible the circumstances, situation was. And he calls upon the name of the Lord. Well, the last thing I want to show you, let's go back there, and I want to show you, we need to do the first part. See, this is a four-part prayer, and let's, in closing, look at just the first part today. This is great. Now, verse 10, let's go back to verse 10. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. Now, we set the stage of why he's most honorable. And actually, I think this first part is going to, I would say, impress upon our minds all the more this very fact. For the very first thing Jabez did. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something. You know, when I go do my prayer conferences, you know I'm actively involved in the prayer conference. First of all, when I came here for all of North America. Now I'm focusing mainly on Southeastern California Conference as part of the prayer committee. And I always teach my people, the first thing you do when you pray is you praise God. That's why I teach it. I want you to see what Jabez prayed. The first part is, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Now keep in mind two things. It starts out with Jabez was more honorable than his brothers and brethren. And it ends, by the way, in verse 10, by, and God granted him what he requested. Okay? So we got to sandwich this very first utterance in the four-part prayer. The very first part is, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. It sounds very self-centered, self-serving, and selfish. But we must remember he was more honorable than his brethren, and we ended by saying God granted him what he requested. So obviously there's something much deeper here than meets the eye. For you see, blessing really means favor of God. In fact, let me take a sideline. Do you know there's some powerful organizations today that are using this book and passing it out to their people in order to enhance their sales? And they refer to the first part of this prayer and the second part, which is next week. And they say, see, God advocates being rich, wealthy, powerful, famous, and important, and successful. And I want you to know that I believe that's a blatant misuse in understanding of Scripture and this prayer. By the way, give me all the rich people in this church. I want rich people in this church. If their heart is given to Jesus Christ, if they're not, I don't want any rich people in this church. You know, most of the churches I've been in, the financial support has come from the retired people that can barely eke out an existence, who, when a call is made from up front, they'll give their blood. While many rich people go out in their BMWs and whatever else they own and drive home to the comfort of their huge home, and not even think twice about putting $5 in the offering. I want all rich people in my church. If they love Jesus, if they don't, I don't want them here. Because God's in the business of hearts. And when He said, I want you to bless me, He was not talking about material wealth, folks. He wanted God's blessing upon His life. In fact, let me prove this biblically, if you don't mind, by looking at Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Here is the wisest men penning a proverb that I cannot believe until I read this book. I have overlooked repeatedly Proverbs, the 10th chapter, verse 22. And notice what it says here, folks, which is the very essence of what we're talking about. Do you have Proverbs 10:22? And notice how this fits Jabez so perfectly, and also how this fits exactly what I'm saying to all of us today. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. See? And He adds no sorrow to it. And the whole book of Proverbs tells us that we are to seek for wisdom and knowledge more than silver and gold. The blessings of the Lord are spiritual understandings, spiritual growth. The ability to reach people, folks, is what is the richest gift you can get from heaven. And Proverbs tells us here, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And that rich brings no sorrow. In fact, I have to make a confession to you, because I got caught up in all the nostalgia, I suppose, and I did watch bits and pieces of Marilyn Monroe. I pride myself in usually not falling prey to that kind of thing, but I did. And folks, the first thing that struck me about that documentary or whatever you call it was how Marilyn's early life destroyed her. Oh, for godly mothers and fathers that understand principles and reality the way Proverbs does. I felt so bad for her. I even wanted to pray for her, because I felt she had no chance from the very beginning. It just tore my heart out. Secondly, folks, it's very obvious that fame and fortune and attention and wealth does not bring happiness. It brought her nothing but sorrow. And it finally ended her life prematurely at an age you and I would go, And you see, it's because Proverbs says the blessing of the Lord is what makes rich. And with it are no sorrow there, see? But man doesn't measure it that way. And so our children and our youth are being advocated principles that are so ungodly, and they're buying it hook, line, and sinker, because a lot of us adults are into it too. And Marilyn Monroe is the epitome of it and shows the proof of all this. When Jabez said, "Bless me indeed," he was saying, "Please give me a blessing. Please bless me." And he was asking for God, by the way, to determine what that blessing was. Do you notice in the first part of the prayer, he does not list what he feels those blessings should be or are. He leaves it up to God. You see that? Did you notice that? He just simply says, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And the blessing he's asking for is the blessing that comes from God, and from it is no sorrow. And remember, I told you one of the Hebrew meanings of the word named Jabez is sorrow. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And so, brothers and sisters, as we move through this four-part series and look at the four parts of the Jabez Prayer, and as you include the introduction today, I want you to know that the very first part of the prayer, Jabez is asking for a blessing. He wants God to give him a blessing. And please notice that God granted that because He asked him. He asked him. And so it is the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich. I want you to pray this for your family. I want you to pray this for your church. And we will see in the coming weeks, what it will do for us and for our church. It was resurrection morning, and as the fable goes, Mr. Jones made it to heaven. And after greeting lovely Jesus and all the pomp and circumstances and excitement, as it abated, Mr. Jones found himself with his guardian angel. And his guardian angel said, "Now, brother, my friend, Mr. Jones, if you would, I want to take you around the beautiful city, and I want to show you all the sights and all the things so you will be aware of what's available to you." And I'm telling you, Mr. Jones just walked up and down, and just, he couldn't believe the tree of life and the river of life and the
the gold streets and all the mansions and the names and the people. I mean, it's just incredible. And when the tour was over and Mr. Jones was so awed and enamored, all of a sudden he looked up and there off to the side of the New Jerusalem was this huge warehouse. And there were no windows in it and just one door. And though it was sort of ugly compared to the rest of the city, he said to his guardian angel, "What is that building there?" And he says, "Oh, that's nothing. Just forget about it." And of course, wait a minute, Mr. Jones thought. I want to go into that building. I want to see what's in there. "Oh, no, no, you don't want, trust me, you don't want to go in there." And of course, Mr. Jones thought to himself, "Wait a minute, are there any secrets in heaven? What is this? Come on, I want to go in that building, guardian angel. I want to see it. Now, it's in my hometown here. I have a right to this." So the guardian angel sighed and he said, "Okay, I'll take you in, but I advise you not to go." So they walked up to the door and the guardian angel took out the key. He put in the lock. He opened the door. He looked up and down to make sure no one was looking. They slipped inside. As fast as they could, he closed the door behind him. And here was this gigantic open warehouse. And it was full of white boxes from the floor to the ceiling, all wrapped in red ribbons. And when Mr. Jones walked up and looked, he saw that they all had names on them. And he said to the angel, "Is one of these have my name on it?" And the guardian angel looked down and "Yes, it does. Where is it? I want to see it." He said, "Why don't we just leave right now?" "No, no, I want to see it. Let's see." And he started going down the list. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Here's J. Jones. There's my name right there. And before the guardian angel could say anything, he grabbed that box. He took it down, set it on a table nearby. He took off the red ribbon. He opened the box and he looked in it. His mouth dropped open. His eyes glazed over. And he looked at his guardian angel. "Those are mine?" He said, "Yes, those are yours. But I never received those." Guardian angel says, "I know, those are all the blessings you didn't receive. But why would Jesus withhold them from me?" "Because you never asked for them. And so this room is full of the boxes of all the people who are here, of the extra blessings that they could have had they asked. And there it sits. Brothers and sisters, the first part of Jabez's prayer is, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And it ends with, "And God granted the request of Jabez." Father, I want you to bless our congregation as we move through this glorious prayer. And I want you to help us to understand that you have something special for us, more special than we thought or knew. And that if we were to practice this, it'll make a difference. Father, if any heart was touched this morning, I want you to guide them through the process of acknowledging that to you even right now. If anyone needs to say they're sorry, Lord, if anyone needs to say, "I need help," if anyone needs to say, "Jesus, come into my heart," I pray they do that just now. For Father, we want to be a healed congregation because we see now, and we're going to learn now, that you want to use us to bless other people. So gift us now to this end, and thank you for hearing and answering, because we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.